Hi, this is Adam Hughes, and you are listening to the Weeby Geeks podcast.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries power. Turbine speed.
Mission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3, standing by.
Red 6, standing by.
Red 5, standing by.
Red Button, standing by.
Red Fox, standing by.
Big Red, standing by.
Red October, standing by.
Helen Reddy, standing by.
Simply Red, standing by.
Great Scott!
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
Meanwhile, across town at the home for the mentally deficient...
And that it is. It is another episode of Weeby Geeks, the last recorded one for 2013. I am your host, Mike, and joining us tonight, as always, is Marty and... Sitting in for this show is Aljon. How you guys doing tonight?
Hey!
Hey, how's it going?
What's up? I can't believe it's already, what, nearly 2014? Nearly?
Nearly.
Where's the time gone?
Apparently it's been sitting in our living rooms, reading a lot of comics, playing a lot of video games, and watching a lot of movies. That's usually our lives, isn't it?
It is.
Well, as you guys are hearing this crackling, we're trying to change things up slightly. We're recording through Google Hangouts instead of Skype so we can actually see each other while we're doing this. Heaven forbid we actually wanted to do that.
I'm sitting here with my pants unzipped right now.
So. Sit down, Al. Sit down.
Well, we do see Mike's nice Atlanta Thrashers jersey on. I think he just wanted to show it off. I don't know what else he's got on, but he's at least got a jersey on. Thank you for that.
You cannot unsee what we've just seen.
I'm blind.
That's why there's crackling.
As we're bringing 2013 to a close, just a reminder, the next couple weeks, we're going to be posting up a couple episodes, but they're going to be, interviews from this last year. And can you believe, I want to say we've done 46 or 47 episodes this year, and we've had 22 guests in 21 episodes. I'm impressed with what the year. I mean, that's pretty good.
Thanks, pretty good. Do you have any favorites of yours that you can think of off the top of your head? Some personal ones that were just like that. That was the one that hit the mark for you.
George Perez was the one that. I mean, growing up with Teen Titans. I mean, with all the moves and everything I did. When he and Wolfman did Teen Titans, that was my saving grace when I moved. I mean, they were my friends. So a chance to sit down and have 9-10 minutes with him and be the only interview he granted at MegaCon, highlight right there. And that was March.
But my question to you, Mike, is, well, was he wearing the shirts?
Yes.
Was he wearing... Because, man, his wife makes the coolest, like, t-shirts
she does.
Ever.
She does. I want one.
Can we buy one? We have gas. You're going to have to get back and do a George Perez round two just to find out.
Well, I will be seeing him again at MegaCon 2014. So we're going to start that plug now. Weeby Geeks will be at MegaCon 2014. So, MegaCon, beware.
What month is MegaCon? Yeah, I'm trying to remember now.
March.
So that's right around the corner.
Why don't we just drive down, Marty?
Why not?
We can crash on couch, right, Mike?
I'll buy the booze.
He's looking to get information from the old lady. Yeah,
I heard a noise. I heard a noise. I'm like, wait.
That was the wife cracking in on the phone. Like, no, those fools cannot sleep on our couches. They will probably bring lice and weirdness with them. So we're not letting them here.
She's busy at the moment doing Elf on Shelf. So, can you imagine a major Weeby Geeks invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between this show and the Marvel show. Now, of course, I just changed the banner today to say Weeby Geeks Network instead of Weeby Geeks Podcast. Oh. So, but nice. I do have some good news. Actually, I won't say good news. It's great news for the start of the new year. What if I use the phrase, "Oh yeah."
Oh yeah.
At turn anything? How about?
When I think about. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, you know, the only thing I can think of when I hear the term "oh yeah" is I think about that old skit on Singled Out where they have a buttload of pudding. You know, you remember what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but that's not it.
Oh, okay.
So
go ahead.
Let me throw another clue out there. Ambush bug.
Oh,
yeah. Superman Family Adventures. Does Martin, you know now?
I think I'm getting closer, but I'm not sure where you're going with it.
Do I need to go a little bit more?
Yeah, go a little more. Give us another clue here.
Tiny Titans. Do I need to go a little further? Itty Bitty Hellboy.
No, you're talking about Art.
Art and Franco. First show when we come back in the new year.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, I figured as much as you brought up Itty Bitty Hellboy, you know, on the last episode, that was probably coming. You're hooking that up. That's good.
And those guys are great. A lively duo, too.
Yeah.
We saw them at C2E2, and they're entertaining just by themselves. So that'll be a good interview.
That's going to be fun.
We'll just throw out a random question, and then we'll just let them have at it.
And then the following week, back to back, we got one of the hottest Latino comic book writers who's not a part of Marvel or DC, Eric M. Esquivel, who's under contract with Boom Studios.
Nice.
He's coming on the following week. So, bam, right there. Three guests, two shows, right off the bat, 2014.
Look for it on the Weeby Geeks Podcast Network.
Yes. So,
good job, Marty.
Hey, I've got a couple promos in my day. So.
You're right. Hey, does Mike know our background of how you and I met?
Actually, no, I don't.
Okay, Marty, I'll let you go ahead.
Oh, one dark, lonely night, sitting in a studio.
Was there a pole vault?
There might have been some chemicals and a lightning strike. Unfortunately, neither one of us got super speed. We just got terrible jobs at radio.
I was going to say super speed or loss of vision.
We had a loss of our sanity, probably.
Loss of something, yeah.
Yeah. Al John and I used to work at the same radio station. That's how we met here in Nashville.
Oh, that's cool.
Been friends ever since. Well, it's been 10+ years probably since we.
Well, let's see. God, yeah, probably 10+ years already.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because we met at. Did we meet? You and I met after my wife and I got married, right?
Right.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Here's the other fun connection. The original co-host of the show, Ken, went to Middle Tennessee State.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. I graduated there from 2002.
And so did my wife back in 2000. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to put that stigma on her already.
Well, obviously you did date her, or you wouldn't be married.
Well, that was just really dry.
Yeah.
That was just really dry.
Hey, I work in the UK pavilion. The British humor's running off. So, right off the bat, reports within the last couple hours, Paul Rudd in negotiations for Ant-Man.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was already cast. I thought they had already pretty much shot it, like, or working on shooting it.
No, actually. Trying to find it. Supposedly.
Okay, go ahead.
Supposedly he has been cast as Hank Pym.
Hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. And I think a lot of this, came after Joseph Gordon-Levitt said he's going off and doing Sandman. And I think he was initially for Ant-Man.
Yeah, that was reported on a Variety, and I see it now, but it says that he's in early negotiations, according to a reporter, Variety reporters, Justin Kroll, but there've been rumors of him and Levitt being part of that for months now.
Right.
Like I said, there was a recent with Levitt saying that he's going to at least produce Sandman, possibly star in it, possibly even direct it. There's like, you know, I guess they're still kind of shopping it, but it is looking like he's going to have some part of it. So
Gordon Levitt's trying to get as much bank off of Sandman as he can then.
yeah, exactly. So if he's really that tied up into Sandman, then he's probably taking his name out of the Ant-Man race.
Quite possibly.
But I mean, Paul Rudd, is that? I mean, what's your initial reaction for him as Ant-Man?
Well, with everything they've been saying that Ant-Man's going to be a comedic feature, Paul Rudd fits. I mean, look at the work he's done, Anchorman 2, and some of the other films.
I'm a big Paul Rudd fan, so that works out great for me. And I don't see how you can take a character like Ant-Man seriously. As a Marvel fan, you know, and as an Ant-Man fan, you know, I'm just like, okay, that works for me. You know, he looks like an ordinary average guy that just so happens to be one of the brilliant minds in the Marvel universe. Okay, fine. So
Marvel has just discovered who the sole subscriber is to Ant-Man.
Probably. Well, I bring this up on Sorcerer Radio all the time, and everybody is like, Ant-Man, Schmant, man. I mean, this is like gonna be the worst movie ever. And I'm like, yeah,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
If the teaser that leaked, if that was true test modeling footage, if that's gonna actually be something used in the movie, I think it's gonna be great. Yeah, a little bit of the campiness. Why not? Why not make Ant-Man the Batman 66 of the Marvel Universe?
I think you gotta change it up a little bit, because right now you got so many almost serious movies coming out. Exactly. I mean, you're making every character realistic and serious, and so you kind of need to have that comedy thrown in there every once in a while to maybe even keep it from getting like too serious in a way.
Exactly. Let's get some camp in there.
Yeah, and you know, the response from the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer at the D23 Expo, where they were using that old Bay City Rollers song. Was it Hook on a Feeling? Was that Bay City Rollers?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think so.
But yeah, the Ooga Chaka, Ooga
Chaka.
Oh,
no. Oh, that's...
Yeah. Oh, no. That was... Well, anyway.
It's not Bay City Rollers.
Maybe I'm getting screwed up. But anyway, I'm going to Google it right now because I'm an idiot. But it was so just campy, but it had such a great spirit about it that if treated properly, it could be a really big hit for Marvel. So
I want to say Blue Suede.
Blue Suede, good job. That was it.
I wasn't ready to look it up. I'm like, I've got
No. But I sang it right. There was that
had yeah. It's Blue Suede.
Yeah, because Lord knows I played so much AM hits in our radio days, Marty, playing our alternative rock station.
Yeah, that one didn't pop up very often.
Hail to the no.
I have it the best of the 70s.
Mellow out.
But like, at least for Guardians of the Galaxy, I think you also had to have that camp in there because you've got a talking raccoon and a walking, talking tree. So there's got to be a little bit of... You gotta have a little bit of tongue in cheek in there, because how serious can you take that?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I am Groot.
Exactly. And he's only got, well, I mean, there, I guess there's talks that he may say more than I am Groot, which.
God, I hope so.
that would suck for the actor.
It's Vin Diesel. I think he's already said he's only got one line in the whole film.
But he's probably got to say it like 150 different ways. So
probably.
What a great fishing for him, man. Yeah. Talk about phoning it in. That's awesome.
But I mean, getting back to Ant-Man too, like it is being directed by Edgar Wright, and I don't know if you guys saw Scott Pilgrim, but he nailed that movie. That had like the perfect tone that captured that book completely. So if he can kind of capture lightning in the bottle again, I'm sold on Ant-Man, you know?
Yeah.
I was entertained by Scott Pilgrim, so that worked for me.
Yeah. I think every once in a while, yeah, we sometimes, we just need to have that laugh, you know, just remember comics came from a silly place to begin with, and every once in a while, they don't all have to be a world-ending, life-saving kind of deal.
Well, I think, you know, with Iron Man 2, there was seriousness, but there was some camp with it. I mean, Iron Man 3, I thought, got a little too serious. But if Guardians of the Galaxy goes the same way as Iron Man 2, fine, I'll perfectly accept that. But if Ant-Man goes complete Ant-Man 66 or the Linda Carter Wonder Woman, bring it on. Let's get a movie that totally, you know, they play it off straight, but it's total camp. Into the Marvel Universe. Let's bring it in and let it be the slapstick. Velcro, of course.
Right? You know, I think it's a Star Wars effect. You know, Star Wars at its core, you know, has so many, you know, great moments, you know, and it breathes. So there is that comedic timing that goes in there, which I think was missing from the prequel trilogy a lot, because I think maybe it took itself a little too seriously. But there's so many great comedic moments in the original Star Wars trilogy that I think they did capture in Iron Man to an extent, and definitely in a lesser extent in the Avengers. So hopefully they'll be able to capitalize on that a little bit more, bring more of that humor back that we know that that Whedon can put in there, and of course Edgar Wright, you know, obviously can slide that in there. You know,
speaking of Star Wars, real quick, I want to mention, for those who don't know about it, Mythbusters premieres, I don't know if it's this weekend or within the next couple of weeks, they're doing a Star Wars Mythbusters special.
Oh.
So they're talking about, can you swing across the like Luke and Leia with someone, you know, with that particular cable with someone on your side. Okay. Well, Myth, yeah, they did. They're going to just try to prove or disprove it. Well, they actually did the stunt for the movie. I mean, what more to the Myth is there?
I think the real test will be is if they set up, if you can actually shoot the tiny hole in the Death Star to destroy it. Was it the 3-foot by 3-foot, like shooting swamp rats through?
Well, if you have the Haynes Death Star manual, I think you might be able to.
Maybe. That's a tiny, tiny hole there, son.
Hey.
I'm not even going to go there.
Marty, as you and I know, lucky shots happen. It's just what happens 3 or 4 years later.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Yep.
Wow. And moving on.
Getting back to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Sandman, he's in the final talks to direct and star, as we mentioned, and even produce. I read Sandman as a kid, but I didn't know there was enough demand to bring it to film.
I think it's a movie that people, you know, have been kind of thinking that could be possible for a while, but then again, until the last, what, 5-10 years, you know, most comics would never have made a big screen, but now since they're becoming more mainstream, yeah, I mean, Sandman had like a 75-issue run. It's got some great stories, great characters that people love to this day. Hasn't been, I mean, they just relaunched the series too, the Sandman Overture series. So, yeah.
I'm just afraid it's going to go the same way as Constantine.
There is that worry, but hopefully some better minds will prevail on that.
You know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt seems to be a really big fanboy about it, so hopefully he'll be able to kind of take it and maybe stay a little true to the source material, add maybe a little bit of a twist to it, but hopefully he'll be able to do it. And by the way, I got turned on to Sandman thanks to ECW. Thanks.
Except you do realize you don't have to smash the beer cans on your head while you're eating it out.
You know, I didn't realize that at first, but thanks for telling me about 20 years later.
Now, you did have the kendo stick, right?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Asian. It's standard equipment.
It's engraved with your name and given to you on your birthday.
That's right.
I could say something, but it would sound so wrong. I'd be going more for laughter than how it'd be interpreted.
Well,
so
you see,
I'll just let it go.
That's why I can say those things.
And it's just like me saying all the Jewish jokes.
I hope you had a great Hanukkah.
I did, and I'm looking forward to Christmas coming up since Melissa's not Jewish.
Hey, all right.
Hey, it's what I get for having a half breed for a daughter.
Oh no!
You get two holidays though. That's kind of.
I grew up with both because I had grandparents that weren't Jewish. My dad had converted, and my mom's stepmother wasn't Jewish. So I mean, we celebrated both. Obviously, you know, with my household being a full Jewish household, Christmas wasn't as the religious aspect as it was probably more the commercial side. But we did it for the grands. So,
well, shoot, man. I mean, you have 8 crazy nights, and then of course you tack on an extra night maybe in Christmas Eve, and wow, that's a lot of presents. So you have maybe more presents and less and all the guilt with that. So,
you get that Adam Sandler movie to make you.
True.
Cool. Yeah, that was
and how many how many versions of the Hanukkah song?
I don't know, but that's one really classic song.
Yeah. I always like to sing the dreidel song. So dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. You made me out of clay.
But why is it the Jews wrote all the best Christmas songs?
That is true. That is very true. I guess they can look at it from a better aspect than we can.
Is that commercialism?
A lot of fun.
So,
yes.
I don't remember if I added this to the show notes, but I saw this online through Yahoo Movies. They're talking about casting Gilligan's Island, because apparently there's a movie with Josh Gad as the skipper.
I'm not even sure who that is.
Josh Gad is the voice of Olaf in Frozen.
That's right.
Wow. You know, it's kind of one of those things of, aren't you surprised it hasn't already happened with like all the other properties, like Brady Bunch, Beverly Hillbillies got remade.
Yep. Hillbillies wasn't too bad.
No.
Brady Bunch, very Brady sequel was more true to the show feel-wise than the first one. But in this article, before we get into putting you guys on the spot of let's do our own fantasy casting, they get in saying that, you know, there's been over the years, you know, some people have tried to interpret the characters of what they were, and they kind of put a related them to the 7 deadly sins.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
Glenny is Gilligan. Wrath is the skipper. Greed is Greed is Mr. Howe.
Love
it. Sloth is Mrs. Howe. Lust
oh, wow.
Lust is Ginger Grant. Pride is the Professor. And Envy is Marianne.
Huh. Wow. That's I never thought of that.
I kind of see it. I do kind of see it. But, so we'll go through the list. Yahoo has, for their fantasy casting, Michael Cera as Gilligan.
Oh, that's pretty good. Like, the best name I could think of off the top of my head was DJ Qualls for some reason. From, like, Road Trip.
And, yeah.
I think the last thing he did was that show with Jason Lee on USA Network or something.
That was a good show.
Yeah, I think that's the last thing I seen.
Was it Memphis Beat? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's all, because he's trying to think of that, like, kind of that lanky, you know, tall, lanky body that kind of could do the whole Gilligan silliness, wacky stunts and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, actually, you know, that's actually a pretty good fit. Although he might be a little bit more a brainy Gilligan, because the way Sarah...
I think Qualls is a better choice, personally.
Although Qualls, I don't know if you always think of Gilligan, you think of him as being like mid-20s maybe or something like that. You're like, he's under the skipper, and he just seems like he doesn't have those life lessons. That's why he's kind of part idiot. And DJ Qualls is like, he's actually probably like 30. He's got to be in his like mid-30s, probably almost 40 now. So he might be.
Yeah, but think about how old he was when he did that one National Lampoon's movie.
True. But that was. It's getting to be like 15 years ago, so.
True. Of course, they got Josh Gad as the skipper.
Yeah.
I mean, who, I think he's too young for the skipper.
He seems really young. I mean, I would have thought that, you know, Milonakis would have, like, been the no-brainer choice for that, but, you know, who knows.
If not, I would say Galifianakis would be another good
choice. Did I say Galifianakis? I don't even know. Some Greek guy will play him. just insert any Greek guy.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Sorry, Greek community.
I love the Euros. Don't take this away. Please don't take this away.
Yeah,
I love the olive oil.
But the only thing with Galifianakis is he would be like a weird skipper. You always think of a skipper as being like, you know, he's like a bigger guy that's always kind of, you know, making Gilligan and slap him around kind of thing. And I don't know if that's Galifianakis'
okay.
kind of cup of tea.
So do you think Jack Black could do it?
The thing you have to have with the skipper is he's got to play the straight man. And so you almost can't have that comedian.
You can't have Jack Black.
Yeah, yeah, and Galifianakis the same way, because they're going to steal it. It's Gilligan he's setting up all the time. So
okay, so
what about Kevin James? I mean, he could pull straight.
He could. I thought, you know, he was my first thought, but then I'm like, he also comes off as too nice, and so I don't know if he can play that mean if you're going to keep him like the TV show.
Then I'll bring up, for example, was when Larry married as the Adam Sandler movie where they're firemen.
Oh, yeah. Chuck and when Larry.
Chuck and Larry, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I that one. Yeah.
I think a lot of people want to forget that one.
Yeah. I think the other name, I can't even think of his name now, but if you saw Game of Thrones, he played King Robert in the first season. He was also on the TV show Still Standing. But he's kind of he was in that, you know, it seemed like the comedy that had the whole scenario of fat useless husband marries hot wife and wackiness ensues.
Well,
so
if that's the case, let's go to the extreme. How about the guy from Mike and Molly?
Oh, he could work. I could see that.
So,
I can see that.
Sure. Why not?
So the next go to Ginger, and they have Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Of course they do.
To me, I think she's totally wrong for the role. I mean, okay, yeah, Pin Up Mom, but she's well, pinup styling, but I think she's totally wrong for this particular movie. I was thinking the actress who played Cheyenne on Reba, she's also Ariel on right. On Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
I think she would be a better Ginger.
You can put Amy Adams into that too. You might as well.
But when I brought it up to my wife, she goes, "No, Cheyenne's a much better fit for Marianne instead of Ginger."
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I'm going Scarlett Johansson. I think that's a good choice. That's my vote.
You could always go back to Philip Seymour Hoffman to be the skipper. You know, I think he could do it. I mean, he did
Tribune that's an idea. That's an idea.
He could do it. And he might be able to lend some really weirdness to the skipper that's kind of like a little creepy.
Well, let me pose this question then. Does Ginger have to be a redhead or a blonde? What about Katy Perry?
Well, she can have whatever hair she wants.
Yeah.
True.
But how about this? How about if Ginger was African-American?
Yeah. That is a pretty white island. Maybe they do need to kind of get with the times and like say, surely one of these seven people might not be white.
Because I'm thinking to myself, what if Skipper and Gilligan were actually black? Because that could change some things up a little bit in terms of comedic acting and stuff like that.
We can get Sinbad for the skipper.
Oh my gosh, no! all of a sudden, Skipper all of a sudden wears a bunch of these Christmas sweaters. I could see Ginger being like a Beyonce type of character with, you know, red hair, kind of got this Nicki Minaj thing going on. That might be an interesting twist. Yeah. Just to have a little flair, you know?
That's actually a good idea in there, Aljon. Yeah.
Yeah, you true. See. Every now and again they come. You know? But I think Marianne would definitely have to be like your corn fed, you know, Midwestern, you know, type of right off the bus kind of chick, you know?
Yeah.
Yahoo's pick? Mila Kunis.
Well, okay.
Mila's too hot. She's too hot. That was the thing about Marianne was like she wasn't overly hot, but she was a beautiful person. So
right.
Like, so okay. So how about Anna Faris?
Anna Faris would be a good choice.
She could do it.
I mean, I think Anna Faris is pretty hot, but
yeah. Yeah.
She's still in the boat of hotness.
I'm trying to think. I had a couple of faces that popped up. I just got to remember what their names are now.
I can't remember her name, but what about the guy who plays Felicity on Arrow? I mean,
I'm not sure that
she's hot, but I mean, she could play Cornfed.
Right.
If you want to go corn fed, I mean, she's like kind of already playing a corn fetish type role. Katie Kuko.
Yeah.
Huh?
All that, from Big Bang you're talking about?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, she's too hot. Yeah.
She's too hot?
She's too hot, yeah. Because I mean, I still remember seeing her for the first time on, was it Eight Simple Rules? Didn't even care about the rest of the show. I was like, who is this amazingly hot chick? So
at that time, she was underage.
Yeah, that's what made it really weird.
Okay, how about, who was it? Amanda Seyfried? What's her name? I know her from, okay, I'm actually looking up these young actresses, and I'm trying to, you see there, hold on a second. We've got this,
That's not the right website, Aljun.
Oh, God, no.
Young Casting Couch.
We're not doing that now.
Hey now.
You know what? Emma Watson would be a pretty cool Ginger. I can handle that.
Oh, that's a good idea. I like it.
You know, she's ready to rock.
She's a bankable name. She does have the girl next door look, and she's not pretty, but she's not overly hot. I think it's a fit.
Yeah.
Sold.
Sold. All right. And you could actually put Emma Stone in there, too, if you wanted to. But she might actually be a pretty good Marianne.
That's an idea.
Yeah.
She's one of those few chicks that no matter what hair color you put her in, she looks gorgeous. It's amazing. Like some women can only just, there's like a couple hairstyles. But like I've seen her, you know, black hair, red hair, white hair, even for blonde hair or whatever. And she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Now for the professor, they have Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer. He'd be a pretty tall professor.
To me, initially, I'm like, but I almost want to recast this as a female.
Well, thinking outside the box. I was going to say Chris Hardwick, because there you go. There's the ultimate modern-day nerdist.
Nerdist.
So, isn't that what professor needs to be?
I can see that. You might as well cast Ed Norton in there, too. You might as well, right?
Yeah.
I think that actually Ed Norton might be a better choice than Armie Hammer. But the question is going to be how difficult will he be on set, or how much is he going to want? I mean, look what he did with the Incredible Hulk.
Well, dude, you're looking at a guy that did some crazy 47-second commercials for Verizon.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell, man? Don't get me started. I mean, look, I like Ed Norton. I think he was great in so many of the movies that I personally like.
Primal Fear.
Regardless of Primal Fear, exactly right. Primal Fear is an awesome movie. He played that character amazingly. And why the hell not? Why not he just have some fun and just be the professor? That's what I'm saying.
I usually catch the twist on stuff like that fairly early in the movie, and I thought I had it nailed. That, okay, yeah, he's slower is the primary personality. But when they spun it and said, no, that was the act, and the intelligent personality was the main person, I'm like, okay, I did not see that one coming.
You know, the thing, yeah, spoiler alert if you haven't seen that movie from 15 years ago, you know, the what was I going to say about him? Oh, crap. I just lost it. Oh, well. You see? Welcome to live recording. Good times.
So, moving on. This one I actually agree with. Thurston Howell III. Kelsey Grammer.
Lovey. Yes.
You know, after you say it, it's like, who else? Yeah.
There's no one else.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
The only other person, and it would be totally wrong, would be William Shatner.
Oh God, that would be great.
What if you got Hugh Hefner? And Mrs. Howell wasn't the same age. It was like, you know, 60 years younger, and so then you can get another hot chick on the island.
Well,
there you go.
They kind of almost do that with this, because they have for Lovey. They have Allison Janney.
Wow. Okay.
And I thought there was quite a bit of an age difference between her and Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm okay with that, but I like your twist of having a younger Lovey. That's good.
I think that suits the current contemporary times, because if you're an old white rich man, you know, it's pretty rare that you actually have a old white rich wife back home.
Well, and, you know, and speaking of which, you can always have Malcolm McDowell play Mr. Howell.
Oh.
Just so you can hear, I love those commercials where he's in there with James Earl Jones talking about Facebook status updates. The best commercial ever, because you never expect those classically trained actors to just all of a sudden, you know, say stuff like totes my goats. I mean, what the hell? You
know? Well, if that's the case, with Malcolm McDowell, Reese Witherspoon as Lovey, with that, you know, perfect. To go with the
good job.
The age difference.
Yeah. Well, you could do that, or you could go really creepy and bring back Hermione in there. Now, that would be extremely creepy. So you could have Hermione in there, and then you could have, you know, her play Marianne if you wanted to.
Anna Faris, I think that'd be another callback.
Anna Faris would be great. Good job, Marnie.
She could play at least, you know, because Mr. Howell was coming as always a straight man, so you can kind of have Anna be in there, and she's got some comedic chops. So.
Oh, she's got great comedic chops. Yeah. Girl.
Well, I'll spin it the other way. We could do Kelsey Grammer and Betty White.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Or you could put Uma Thurman in there as Lovey.
Uma? Oprah Uma. That's all I ever do. I go back to David Letterman for some reason every time I hear Uma.
Uma. That's exactly what they said. That's exactly what they said to the twins after Revenge of the Sith.
Uma. Uma. before we do a wrap of our favorites of 2013, I thought we'd hit first movies that are coming out in 2014. I know we kind of touched on this on Tiki Room, but Disney related. Mm-hmm. We're going to cover a little bit of everything. They're saying the top 25 movies to look forward to on for next year is they start off with Divergent, which I know nothing about, and it's supposed to come out in March. Then they go to Pompeii, and this is going from 24, they have Pompeii, which I think I saw my first trailer for it, and it looks impressive. It kind of almost has that Rome feel to it, or not Rome, Troy feel to it. 23. Marty and I, we discussed this last week. 23 is, oh my God, Zilla! What a trailer. What a trailer. I think that one's underrated. 23 was anticipated for next year.
Yeah, I mean, that one, I mean, the name recognition is going to be there. I just wonder how the audiences are going to do with it, because the last one was actually trying to be serious, and this one seems like it's trying to get back into the camp. You just had Pacific Rim come out this past year that blew minds, you know, with its CGI and what it had going on. So I'll wait and see what happens on this one. I need to see more before I'm convinced. Mm.
I like what I'm seeing so far. Definitely see. I want more. I want the movie now. I don't want.
But remember,
I don't want to wait.
Like what we talked about last week, the Matthew Broderick Godzilla, that trailer was pretty awesome too. And look what kind of a turd fest that turned into. So
the best thing that happened with that is you saw the New York Rangers logo get blown up.
Nice.
So. In the 22 spot, we're just going to ignore it because it fits right there with Twilight, which is the one thing we don't talk about on the show.
Is it? It is Twilight?
No.
Oh.
But it was the fan fiction, the Twilight fan fiction that turned into such a hit book that's now being turned into... Are they actually bringing back the NC-17 rating for this movie?
Oh, you're talking about 50 Shades.
50 Shades of blah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. There, wow.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be a February movie for all the ladies out there.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
All it says for release date is 2014.
Yeah. All
right. In the 21st position... I, Frankenstein.
I saw the trailer for this the other day, and
that comes out next month.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's soon. Like I saw while I was watching football, and it confused me because never showed the face that well of the main actor, and it's name escapes me. It's Harvey Dent in the last trilogy of Batman. Aaron Eckhart, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of looked like the CGI that they were showing, it kind of reminded you of Constantine. So I'm like, I don't, okay.
Well, the movie poster looks like it's the same typical movie poster from 2013. Yeah. Guy standing in front of an open void with his head either looking forward, well, in this case, he's looking back with smoke in the background, smoke and fog in the background. Now, we saw that with Star Trek. We saw that with quite a few movies. In the 20th position, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I saw that trailer today.
What'd you think?
You know, the first movie actually was actually kind of captivating, and I'm a huge Planet of the Apes fan from back in the day. Anytime they show those marathons, I just can't help but watch the entire thing from start to finish. But this looks interesting. I will reserve I'll be hopeful. I'll put it to you like that. I'll be hopeful. I hope that it's good.
Is it spinning out of, you know, I wonder if it's spinning out of Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, they're almost following the same path as what they did with the original movies. Which I think is funny too. You know, one tidbit about the original films is whenever everyone was in makeup and they break for lunch, the gorillas sat with the gorillas, the chimps sat with the chimps, the orangutan sat, the human sat. They said when they did the remake with Wahlberg, same thing happened there too. you would have thought, okay, everyone would still be intermixed, but no, it was the same way. Subconsciously, all the gorillas sat together, all the chimps sat together, all the orangutans sat together.
You probably think that those guys are going.
And it's just such an odd social experiment.
Yeah. You gotta think they're spending that much time together in the makeup chair, so they probably, maybe those bonds are a little bit stronger than on the set. That's my best guess without being like, you know, monkey racist here.
That makes me feel better for not saying my the joke after the kendo stick. So we have it. I could tell the Jewish jokes because I'm Jewish. Algin could tell the Asian jokes because he's Asian, and Marty could tell all the.
I'll tell the interspecies jokes.
Because he's an interspecies. Because
apparently I'm like, I don't even have comeback for that. I thought it had something. I was like, no, that's a little wrong right there. What's coming out of my head? So I'll just leave it in there.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
19. Noah.
Like Noah's Ark, Noah?
That's what I'm guessing. This comes out March 28th. The top build cast is Russell Crowe, Emma Watson, Logan Lerman, and Jennifer Connelly.
Wow. Interesting cast.
That's a pretty big cast.
And for it being in the 19th spot, I know nothing of it.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that that release date's on my birthday. That's all I can tell you about that movie.
I will have to remember that.
Yeah, you can buy me tickets for that movie for my birthday, and I will not go see it.
Nice.
In the 18th spot, Hercules, the Thracian Wars.
No, thank you.
Now, wait. I thought I saw that there are two Hercules movies coming out this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you're probably right because
he might be.
Is that the one with The Rock?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, then that's the one that might be good.
But they're not connected, right? They're two totally separate movies. Is that the understanding?
Yeah, because the other one is like Hercules 3D or some crap like that.
Yeah. So I just kind of thought that was really odd.
Schwarzenegger 45 years later.
Ooh.
So with this one, the top bill cast is Dwayne Johnson, John Hurt, and Ian McShane, and it's slated for July 25th.
Those are some dudes.
Yeah, they are.
Those are some manly men.
Ian McShane. Ian McShane.
Hey, yeah. he was pretty awesome in Hitman, I thought. So
sure.
Now, this next movie, one of the actors who's top billed, I can actually see as Gilligan as well. It's How to Train Your Dragon 2 with Jay Baruchel.
Oh, that's true.
I like that film. Yeah, he would be a good Gilligan.
Yeah.
I like the movies. I tried watching the TV series on Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm.
It was hit and miss.
Yeah.
Most of season one was good. I tried watching season two, and I'm like, okay, they're trying too hard.
was
I think
my
sometimes
opinion.
when you get to that where you're making a show from a TV or from a movie, you end up kind of entrapping yourself in as far as not having that broad a creative stroke already. So I think some that may have hit. I don't know. I missed the TV show. I didn't know it was on, but my 3-year-old son loves the first movie, so
that's because it was good.
Yeah, it really was.
It was.
I've watched it a couple times with him, and it's. I try to, like, you know, especially if you've got kids and you see movies like for the 50th time, you start trying to pick out the little things that doesn't make any sense, and I haven't found any flaws with it.
You know, the thing about How to Train Your Dragon is it's the best Disney movie that wasn't a Disney movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
DreamWorks did a really good job with that. Because even the Shrek movies, as fun as those are, I can still pick out things that, like, oh, why did they do that? But Dragon really didn't have any of those that I've noticed, at least yet. Maybe after the 100th viewing, I'll have a different opinion on that.
Well, they're banking on this to be their, you know, their Cars, you know, their franchise. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll see. I mean, you know, we hadn't had a really big animated franchise that wasn't non-Disney related since Shrek. The other one was Ice Age, I guess. But I don't
Ice
know.
Age or Madagascar, but I mean,
well, yeah,
I think,
Madagascar was DreamWorks, so I guess that was.
Oh yeah, but both of those, I mean, I think they might have overkilled it after the second or third film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Shrek. That was Mike Myers that kept pushing that one.
And I think Madagascar, speaking of which, I think it has a new movie coming out in 2014. I think it's with the island monkeys or whatever. Whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And Mike Myers, if you're listening, I still want my royalty check for the resemblance for Shrek. Now the movie in the number 16 spot. I'm just gonna read off the top billed cast and you see if you can figure out who it is. Jason Statham. Or Statham, Harrison Ford. With the picture, they also show Clint Eastwood, Nicolas Cage. Okay, everyone's stumped.
I'm thinking.
The last one is Sylvester Stallone.
Is it Expendables 3?
Yeah. Expendables 3.
So that's who they're bringing in. Yeah, you kind of wondered, you know, with all the other action guys they brought in for 2, if they would just keep bringing in more guys in 3. And I guess they are. They could work.
And of course, this is the one that, you know, has got the whole controversy of Bruce Willis out because he wanted more money than what any of the other actors, including Stallone, was being paid. And then Harrison Ford is in instead.
That's just a nice way of saying, I don't want to be in it, guys. But if you're going to pay me, I'll show up.
That's exactly what Marty said. Yeah.
If you listen to Kevin Smith, he'll tell you that Bruce Willis, the demands he made on this was exactly like what he did with Copland or whatever that – was it Copland he did with Kevin Smith?
I know it was –
that Kevin Smith directed?
Yeah, well, it was Cop Out.
Cop Out.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kevin Smith said he's the biggest a-hole out there. So.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is, you know, kind of weird to hear because when he was working with him and when they were still promoting the movie, he was super psyched to work with Bruce Willis. Like, cause, you know,
he was a big
fan of Moonlighting and, you know, he just had a man crush on him.
But doing the movie changed all of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And for Stallone to bring up similar issues, I'm like, okay, so there's got, you know, and I've heard it with a couple others. I'm like, okay, then there's got to be some truth to all this. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's a guy who brings money to the bank.
You know, and he's still one of the more bankable stars of that franchise. So, yeah. I think, though, Marty has a point, though, because a lot of actors and a lot of musicians, a lot of people that I know that are in the entertainment business, if they, instead of simply turning down a project, they'll simply price themselves out of a project.
Yeah.
And that makes more sense to them.
Michael Keaton with Batman, Batman Forever, you know, mm-hmm. when Tim Burton was, you know, when they weren't bringing Burton back. He priced himself right out of the role and priced himself. That was his loophole to get out of the three movie deal.
And good for him.
Yeah.
He got out at the right time. But, I mean, as far as Bruce Willis goes, though, you know, some of these other guys, you know, Stallone's starting to make his comeback a little bit. Statham's still a good commodity. But a lot of, you know, Willis is probably like the top guy that doesn't need this movie. He can go off and do his own vehicle and be the center star and make $20 million plus back end. So, you know, it's kind of, he's not hurting. He can easily find something else. So.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the guys in this aren't hurting, but they almost need this film to keep in the limelight.
Right. Well, I mean, Steven Seagal and Dolph Lundgren aren't getting exactly, you know, their door beat down for for new roles.
Steven Seagal is breaking down doors in New Orleans, though, but that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, just looking at the cast, because, you know, obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger is coming back for a little bit. Yeah. But you've got one of my favorite new actors. Well, he's not really new, but Terry Crews is going to be in there, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer is going to be in there. And Wesley Snipes, whoa, Blade, coming back. How about that?
See, Kelsey Grammer is the one that threw me.
Yeah.
But he could, I mean, do they say what his role is? Is he going to be playing the main bad or something?
I don't know if he is or not. It doesn't really say, but...
If he's the baddie... Then yeah, I can see Grammer in it.
Yeah, I'm sure his name is Bonaparte, so I would expect there to be a little bit of a evil thing there. But yeah, I'm just looking at the IMD about this right now, and it looks very interesting though. Who they have cast? Harrison Ford. Interesting.
Yep. Interesting. And apparently he jumped on it real quick after Bruce was let go.
I'm sure he did. He's making that money. You know, Ender's Game didn't make a whole lot, so let's just move on.
You know? In the 15th spot is Fast and Furious 7.
Yeah.
I would hope after the accident, this is it. This needs to wrap.
No, it won't be, but it should.
It'll go
straight to DVD, Blu-ray after this one, but. We don't know if the production has been stalled, so we don't know if it's actually going to make this year at all, you know, or even if it's going to be salvageable. That's from my understanding. Have you guys heard of anything else about that?
I heard they were still going to continue production after the accident, they were supposed to do some filming in Atlanta. The accident was, what, 3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
They were going to do some filming last week or the week before.
Hmm.
And try and wrap up by this week.
Interesting.
Or be wrapped for the holidays, when this show drops on iTunes.
Interesting.
So, in the 14th spot, Angelina Jolie as Maleficent.
Yay!
I'm glad to see it's high up. I thought it was odd that Disney put it in the previews for Frozen, especially with the kid response.
Yeah.
Because my daughter's freaked by Maleficent, but I mean, she handled the preview okay.
What kind of rating are they going with the movie? Do you know? Are they trying to make it PG? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a PG film, and after seeing her kind of sell the film and seeing some advanced previews and scenes from the film, it looks pretty darn good. And Kristen, my wife, being very discerning in terms of her movie watching, she really buys into it. So I'm like, okay, well, if she buys into it, then a lot more people will, because she's very critical of that kind of stuff. So.
And that will be hitting July 2nd, which puts it right there as one of the blockbusters for July 4th.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
July 4th stuff.
Maybe she just finally want to do a movie that all of her 92 kids can finally watch.
Well, that's true. But hey, Marty, and you know, people will dig this. I mean, Paul Dini and Linda Wolverton helped write the script for this film.
Really? Wow. And of course, everyone knows it. And right now, Dini's under contract with Marvel for the animation stuff. Why not a perfect fit to incorporate, you know, cross utilize on a Disney film?
Well, Paul Dini's amazing, so why the hell not, you know?
Well, of course. I mean, he brought us probably one of the best animated series ever with Batman, the animated series.
It's style. It's yeah. great style. But there is substance in that, so, right. I mean, it's good, right. good
stuff. Well, the thing I always like about Dini is he just knows, he gets to the root of that character and brings it right out, and
yeah.
you're never worried about him capturing the character properly. So anything I've ever seen him do, like, for TV, for comics, for movies, it's all, like, you can tell, like, he loves the character by the time he's done with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. In the 13 spot, Edge of Tomorrow. It's Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt, and Bill Paxton.
Okay.
I don't know much about it.
Is Tom Cruise still allowed to do sci-fi movies? Because hasn't all of them just been disasters?
So you're saying Tom Cruise needs to be put in the same category as Twilight when it comes to sci-fi?
He did Minority Report, he did Oblivion, he did...
Day the Earth Stood Still?
Didn't he do War of the Worlds?
That's War
of the Worlds, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There goes
my I want to say he was also in Day the Earth Stood Still.
I didn't watch it, so I'm not sure.
Here we go.
Not the remake, at least.
IMDb.
But it's just like he's done the sci-fi and nobody is believing it. I mean, Jack Reacher was probably sci-fi because there's no way that little short man's going to be kicking everybody's butt as a lethal assassin. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Maybe he just needs to go and start Cocktail 2 or something.
Cocktail
like that.
2.
get something realistic in there for you, Tom. I mean, you're not a samurai. You're not a sci-fi hero. You're just a dude that can make some drinks and make a lady swoon. Phil.
Oh, by the way, it was Keanu Reeves that was in The Day the Earth Stood Still. My bad.
He was Klaatu. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keanu is a better sci-fi guy than Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's...
Dude.
Man, that's kind of harsh, but it is true.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, the Matrix. All I got to say is The Matrix, and Keanu's kind of like got it locked up in the sci-fi over Tom Cruise.
See, my only problem with the way The Matrix trilogy went is I hated the ending to the last film.
Yeah, everybody did.
The thing that would have made it work the best after you see the whole thing is it goes back to he wakes up at his computer with that phrase of, what was it, about the pill?
Oh, right.
You know, that Alice in Wonderland quote. That's how it should have ended, not with how it ended.
I'm sure Al John and I have talked about it, but the way I had it broken down, if you ever saw the Animatrix.
Yes.
Yeah, the shorts. There was one short in there where I think it was like the last or next to last one where this kid became self-aware that he was in the Matrix and woke up himself without assistance. Mm-hmm. And I think that kid was the one that was like kind of, you know, following around Neo like a puppy dog on New Genesis or New wherever the city was that they were happening. And I think that was if I remember right, that was the same kid. And I always thought it would have been a nice little twist if they had that kid was actually, because he became self-aware himself, he was actually the chosen one. And Neo, they just thought it was Neo, but it was actually this kid. And all of a sudden, you know, Neo dies, but the world is still saved because the real savior is the kid.
So Marty, you're explaining Star Wars is basically what you're saying.
Yes, basically. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they there might have been some borrowing there.
Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Same character.
There's no comparison. Lawrence Fishburne was like the worst CSI guy ever.
even more than Ted Danson?
You know what? I like Ted Danson. Is it Ted Danson? Whatever. Yeah. I like him. You know, we'll put Cheers in there. Why the hell not?
So, in the 12th spot, Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1.
Yeah,
really? Is this book? Do they have to take the last book and split it into two movies?
It's tradition now. It's tradition.
I mean, is that the new gimmick now?
It's no longer a trilogy of films. It's going to be a quadruple film. What is it, Marty? What's the new film term for four films coming out?
It's called Money.
A quad.
Yeah.
It's a quartet of films.
It's a cash cow is all. That's all you really got to call it.
Yeah.
Because if you got a successful set of movies, it's going to do it. And I saw the first Hunger Games. It was pretty good.
Yeah, 2017, Hunger Games Forever. That's going to be the name of the number five.
Still hungry.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It sounds like a docking record.
Coming to you in 2020, Hunger Games Anorexia.
we'll get John Panay on it.
Yeah, exactly.
You eat more vegetables.
I was gonna say you go now.
Ralphie May is the referee.
There you go. That's it.
Yep.
Ralphie May.
I love Miss Ralphie May.
Hunger Games, the biggest loser edition.
Hunger Games, Fat Camp.
Fat Camp.
The next or Celebrity Fit Club.
Exactly.
In the 11th spot, The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
We were talking about this last week.
I hope it's not the love story as like it was, the chick flick that it was in the first film.
Oh, you mean you didn't like the Twilightification of Spider-Man?
Sure.
That should be the subtitle of The Amazing Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man.
The Twilight chick flick.
just throw in more.
I tell people all the time. It's like, did you like, right?
Spider Twilight.
There you go. We lost Marty.
I say you just throw in Morbius. You just throw in Morbius and you're all good.
There you go.
But Morbius doesn't sparkle.
He could.
Oh, stop.
the Sony Marvel Morbius, if you can say that three times fast.
The Sonyverse.
Sonyverse of Marvel.
Morbius
with a chance of meatballs.
Morbius would sparkle after his time at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Oh, my. Which is not Sony.
So now we hit top 10. Transformers 4, Age of Extinction.
There's another one?
Well, apparently the Transformers are going to be going through a soft reboot. Is that kind of a safe thing to say? It's like they're going to be redesigned, and hopefully they're going to look more like, you know, machines with personality instead of just, you know, pieces of metal.
I'm not so worried about their design. I'm more worried about the script that they're using to make the movie off of, because the last three have just been non-existent.
Transformers. Best effects you never see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a gorgeous movie to look at, special effects wise, but you have to
stop frame everything to see the effects, because it happens so quick, it's blur.
It's true.
It's like you waste all this money for it to be blurred.
Yeah.
Helped sell a lot of HDTV though when it came out on Blu-ray.
number 9. Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
All right.
Can't wait. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Number 8. 300: Rise of an Empire.
Really? This is higher than Cap and Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I'm only worried about the new 300 because it's been like 10 years since the last one,
and it got pushed back. It was supposed to come out this year. Now it's coming out March 7th, which is when it came out 10 years ago.
Exactly. So it's like that movie, and also like even Sin City is the same way, where it's that movie's been and just keeps getting pushed back farther and farther too. So.
Mm-hmm. 7th spot, X-Men: Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
I'm sold. That's my pick of the summer right there.
Let's hear it, Algin. What's your pick?
I don't know. I'm curious to see how this is going to work out. Obviously, I've seen every X-Men movie that has come out. I've been a little surprised by some things. I loved First Class. And I was slightly happy about X-Men 1 and 2, and everything else was kind of, well, it was what it was.
You're including all the Wolverines and stuff.
Absolutely, like include all the Wolverines.
Okay. X3 and Wolverine Origins, the Wolverines I almost count as something separate. It's the X-Men movies, to me.
I just don't know why they wanted, and Bryan Singer wanted to slam so much crap in this movie. It's like we're a race to put every X-Men and put our stamp on everything so that we'll basically give the finger to Marvel, you know?
See, to me, this is something where they could have done X-Men Days of Future Past Part 1 and Part 2 instead of trying to cram everything into one film.
Well, we'll see, right? I mean, we're gonna find out. We're going to find out exactly how much they cram in there. It just seems to me like so many characters. And, you know, if you pull an X-Men, an X3, and put in some of these other characters that just simply are there just for, you know, cannon fodder, it's pointless. It is pointless to have Cable in there if he's just going to be shot.
Well, I think it's what a lot of the cameos and reprisal of the roles, that's what it is. You're going to see him for like a couple minutes on screen, and that's going to be it. Maybe even their death scene, yeah.
I mean, it's for me, it's not why even do it. I mean, for me, it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, we'll see. I'm a big fan of both casts, you know, predominantly. And I can't wait to see, you know, what McAvoy brings, of course, and of course, Patrick Stewart, you know,
right,
and all that, you know, it's going to be good. We'll see.
Well, they already announced 2016. It's going to be X-Men Apocalypse, and there's going to be an X-Men Fantastic Four crossover. So after Apocalypse, what's going to be next? Please, not X-Men Battle of the Atom. If that's the case, you might as well just write the script. You know, take the Peggy Sue Got Married script and just change it up to X-Men characters.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of that from your podcast. Yeah,
in the sixth spot is the next Jack Sparrow movie, Into the Woods. I mean, Johnny Depp movie, Into the Woods.
Okay.
How much Jack Sparrow are we going to see in this movie from Johnny Depp?
Man,
it's like he can't get out of that character. You look at Tano. Man. He's got a hat that he has to mess with. He's got a trinket he's got to mess with. I mean, it was the same thing with Willy Wonka. He had a hat and the cane. You know, it's
all about props.
Maybe he'll surprise you.
He's stuck in that same. All his characters since Pirates has been the same character.
Maybe he'll surprise you. He'll be Benny and June.
No.
Style. Or Edward Scissorhands.
You say that, and you can't even believe what you're coming out of your mouth.
I was trying to remember the title the whole time you guys were talking about it. I was like, what was the name of that movie where he was the wacky guy that was, like, trying to get on with the girl, but she wasn't wacky? Silly 90s.
Edward Scissorhands?
No, Benny and June. That was
Benny and June.
I never watched it, but I'm sure it was fine.
In the five spot is another Jack Sparrow movie. I mean, Johnny Depp movie, Transcendence.
Transcendence, not to be confused with Transformers. Maybe they should just swap scripts and see if what comes out.
Mash them all up.
Exactly. Might as well. Transcendence Formers.
More than meets the what? What the heck?
Number four, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
See, and
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Because I think that movie was supposed to come out this past August, and I had my hopes up, and then nothing.
Oh, by the way, Transcendence also stars Morgan Freeman, so you're going to see Morgan Freeman and Johnny Depp.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
Johnny Depp and Mr. Fox.
Jack Sparrow meets God.
Exactly. That's how the cookie crumbles.
In the three spot, coming out August 1st, 2014. Ooga chaka, ooga chaka.
There you go.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hooked on a feeling.
Swing. Oh, wait.
I'm actually surprised. Guardians, that's, you know,
that's pretty high.
All the
that's
other
pretty high.
Movie. That is huge. I mean, maybe it's because nobody knows what to expect. It's the only one that's not a sequel.
Yeah, it is highly anticipated, if that is the proper listing. Which, by the way, Mike, are you reading that from a Yahoo listing? Because IMDb listing is kind of close, but not quite. So
no, I am reading this from Movies of Hollywood.
Oh, Movies of Hollywood. Okay, yeah. I'm reading. I've got a list too from movie. I guess it's by IMDb, and it's kind of close. It's kind of up there, so that's good.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this is one site. Like you said, you picked another site. You said they're close. Yeah. You know, all the movies are all listed. It's sort of like jazz. Right exactly. Note, wrong placement.
Exactly. So, that's what I play on guitar every day is jazz.
What?
The worst placement of any notes possible.
Number two, Interstellar.
Oh, it's the Incubus story.
Which I know nothing about.
Yeah. Interstellar, it says a group of explorers make use of a newly discovered wormhole to surpass limitations of human space travel to conquer vast distances involved in an interstellar voyage. And Anne Hathaway's in it, and Matthew McConaughey is in it, with director Christopher Nolan.
Whoa.
So it's the prequel to Wing Commander.
Basically, yeah. Jessica Chastain's in it, too. So pretty hard hitters, of course, directed by Christopher Nolan. It's going to be edgy. It's going to be stylistically good and maybe a lot of tight, close shots and a lot of fireballs.
You're talking about tight, close shots of Hathaway, right? Is that what you're
Hell to? Yeah. Because if I was talking about Matthew McConaughey, I need to go ahead and turn in my geek card.
Is that Kristen behind you? What?
Not right now.
In the number one spot, I don't know if it's the same on your list, is The
number,
Hobbit.
Number two? Oh, I'm sorry.
The Hobbit, there and back again.
The final Hobbit.
Yeah, the final, the third movie for the one book that was written. Explain
coming
that one
to me. Coming
to
a Disney park near you.
It's what, I mean.
Quite possibly.
With that top 25, I mean, what can you say is your personal number one movie?
Me personally, out of that entire list, my top two is Cap and Guardians. I mean, yeah.
Go ahead.
Lord of the Rings, yeah, I went out every year and saw those, you know, with the family. That became the family tradition at the holidays for those 3 years. With The Hobbit, I've had like no, as much as I love the book, I've had no desire to go see the movie. Now, part of it is the fact that I got a 4-year-old and trying to find a babysitter, but I've just had no desire, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's actually, I finally got to catch it not too long back, and it's good. I will say, I mean, it's like the Lord of the Rings movies that you remember, and with even better CGI. Like, you know, it's harder to tell what's fake and what's real, and you know, right. It kind of helps you blend into that world a whole lot easier, too.
Hmm. Right.
Now, missing from your list, Mike, though, is a film that I thought would be definitely mentioned in there, RoboCop. What's up with that?
Yeah. I did notice that was not in there.
Because I also don't know. Saw the new preview for RoboCop 2, and it looks pretty badass, I must say.
The new RoboCop is amazing.
And I love the look too. I mean, you know, it looks like, and I don't know if they're changing the look halfway through the movie, like he's getting new armor or whatnot. But I like the stealth mode armor; it looks really cool. And then, paying homage to the original RoboCop looks pretty cool. I mean, and they have the right people in place. Michael Keaton's going to be in there, and of course Samuel Jackson's going to be in it. I mean, that looks pretty damn good.
Yep. So, coming out right after the first of the year, we got Paranormal. I'm on a Movie Insider. They've got the breakdown of movies month to month. January 3rd, Paranormal Activity: The Marked Ones. Who cares at this point in time?
I would have.
Then Open Grave, The Best Offer, and Beyond Outrage. But it seems like the big ones for the month, Legend of Hercules, I think a lot of people are going to think that's the Rock film and yeah. might go towards it there. Really, Generation War, maybe?
Mm.
I, Frankenstein is going to carry the month. I think that's going to be the big one for the month.
But, I mean, it's also January, and that's not exactly the heavy right. year month at all. January, February tend to be your movies that they've been holding on to because they couldn't put them anywhere else.
It's called filler yeah. time, folks.
Yep. Hence,
but the Lego movie. February.
The Lego right. movie.
But you know what? But there are actually high expectations for the Lego movie. I know a lot yes. of people that have already pre-screened the film that say that they love the film. And I'm like, okay, well, okay, good. Good for Lego and good for you. I think that's going to be good for them. But look, February is right around the corner. And then, bam, RoboCop will smack you in the face. So hopefully yep. they'll nail it.
No, the weird thing that may be to consider is will there be too many Marvel movies this summer? Because you'll start off with Cap, then you'll go into Spider-Man, then you'll go into
X-Men,
then you'll go into Guardians, like within I think they're about a month apart from each other.
Yeah.
So that's a whole, and then you could also throw in the fact of, hey, there's no DC characters getting a movie this year.
So, that's why I think it might be good, but once again, I think Marvel, hopefully they understand how, well, of course they understand how it works. I mean, obviously they still have ties to even the Fox and Sony films, but, you know, they'll work, you know, I'm sure they'll work just fine. And hopefully they're going to ride the crest of superhero, films and still be very successful. You know, I mean, if Fox screws this up, I mean, you might as well just say, okay, Marvel, how much money do we want to buy those characters for, you know?
Well, the other question is, if Fox screws it up, does that break any type of deal that they had with Marvel? And does Marvel automatically get the rights back?
I think the deal is, as long as they use the rights, they get to keep them. So that's why there was a relaunch for both Spider-Man and X-Men. It's like they basically had to use them where they're going back.
And Fantastic Four.
Yeah. I think Fantastic Four is, I don't know if they're going to get under the radar on that one. I got a feeling Fantastic Four is going to go back to Marvel just because they've tried it twice and financially they failed twice. So I just can't see. It's kind of like the Punisher, you know, and they tried it twice and it didn't work financially. So right. let's just give it back to Marvel.
Like Ghost Rider?
We don't know how to do it. Yeah, Ghost Rider.
But here's the thing, right? My understanding is that they're casting for the Fantastic Four sometime in January, and that there are already rumblings of casting rumors for Fantastic Four, so I don't believe they're going to give up on it that easily because they want to have an expanded universe where there is the Baxter Building, there is, you know, the X-Mansion.
Well, so, I thought they already cast Johnny Storm because I remember talking about it with Eric on the show that Johnny Storm is going to be played by a black actor.
Yeah.
And the question with that's going to be, okay, is Sue Storm going to be black?
Yeah.
Or is she going to be left white? And if that's the case, is that really the two characters that you want to have? Yeah. How do you explain that if they're supposed to be biological siblings?
Well,
I'd rather see Reed Richards go, you know, be played by a black person before seeing Johnny, unless you make Sue black as well.
Well, the thing is that the person they're thinking about casting for him is Michael B. Jordan, who was one of the guys that played one of the pilots in Red Tails, and he was on All My Children, and he's just a really good, great actor. He's in that, what is it, the Fruit Stand movie. Shoot, I forgot the name. Fruitvale Station. And he's a really, really talented young actor. I think he'd be great if he was to be Johnny Storm. I think he'd be great. Just make sure that his sister is also black, you know. Yeah. So it just stays true to kind of that that brother-sister thing.
Or we just say that Daddy Storm just had a lot of free time with the traveling salesman, and things happen.
Or perhaps they're adopted. I don't know. But, you know, it could be that way. I mean, if it makes sense, sure, it makes sense. You know, but let's make sure that they have a good story. In the back of my mind, though, I can't help but hope that they just allow it to lapse so that Marvel Studios can get the Fantastic Four back where they belong. All those Marvel characters, they screwed up just like they did with the Muppets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, with Children's Television Workshop, and I know that a lot of people have been talking about the Muppets because of their new film coming out, but, you know, Disney had no control over, you know, Fraggle Rock, and they had no control over, you know, Sesame Street and all that other stuff. You know, there's just a bunch of characters that splintered out, and it sucks about what's going on with Marvel, that Spider-Man is owned by, licensed by Sony, and they own that license, and I just...
Yeah, Fox controlling X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's not the Marvel Universe without all the characters being in the same place.
Right. Now, before we get into best and worst of 2013, wow, it's gonna be a little longer show, but hey, it's end of the year wrap up. I know you touched on it, Algin, on Facebook. I talked about it on the site and also on Facebook, and I'm sure you did the same thing I did after seeing the trailer and signed up for the beta.
Hell yeah.
Star Wars Attack Squadrons.
Yeah.
For those of you who played X-Wing, played TIE Fighter, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, and X-Wing Alliance, to see a modern version of those games come back to life, because as far as I'm concerned, Naboo Starfighter, that was a joke of a game.
Yeah.
I am stoked for Attack Squadrons, especially if you could take an X-Wing and customize it, coloring, graphics, whatever. Oh, yeah.
Marty, have you seen the trailer for this?
I haven't. No, I haven't.
Okay, so apparently, yeah, you can, you know, level up your starfighter and give it, like Mike said, custom colors, custom paint jobs, weapon upgrades. Now, there was recently an upgrade to the Old Republic MMORPG that's out right now, and I actually played it, got into it, and the controls are really, really clunky. For me, I think Rogue Squadron was one of my favorite games of all time, you know,
yeah.
And that was for the N64, and I loved that game.
Well, they had it for the PC as well.
Yeah, they had it for the PC too, but I just love the control of that game. If they can do the same thing with Attack Squadrons, and it's a free-to-play game, Marty, you know what that means? It's free-to-play. You and I can all log in and play together.
Now, what platforms is this coming out on? Is it a PC?
PC. Internet.
I'm still stuck out here in Macland, guys.
Hey, it might be. Is it a web browser game, Mike?
I believe so. I think it's like Warplanes. I think it's going to be like Warplanes.
So you should be able to do it, Marty. So I would go ahead and start up and test and try to beta test on it. All you have to do is create your Disney account, because it's actually done by
Disney.
By Disney. Which is cool.
Yeah,
Disney LucasArts. So.
And can we form our own little squadron and just like...
Hey.
That would be great. I signed up tight, so hopefully we can all get into the beta and test it out.
I signed up yesterday when the trailer broke. Hey, who knows? Maybe the Weeby Geek Squadron.
Oh, I like that.
Weeby Geeks 1, checking in.
Weeby Geeks 2, checking in.
I'll still take, even though I'm the head of this thing, I'm still going to take my Porkins position. Weeby Geek 6.
Porkins position.
I was going to make it
Porkins. Lock S foils at attack position.
Porkins!
I can't hold it. She's breaking up. Wait, never mind. That's the beans.
They haven't even started shooting yet, Porkins. Jeez.
Sorry. That was the beans.
Did you see that internet meme or whatever? Was a fan film or something about Porkins? Every time they looked at Porkins, he was eating out of a KFC bucket. I'm like, well, Jake Porkins, the best starf pilot in the fleet, eating the wings, finger looking good, Porkins.
So yeah, I'm stoked. I just downloaded today Warplanes, so I want to check that out. And if this is going to be similar to that, oh, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I loved X-Wing. I loved TIE Fighter. X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, I enjoyed. But yeah, this looks fabulous.
I bet you half of the audience have no idea what those games are.
I know. I'm dating myself. But then again, that's why, for being a 43-year-old geek. Yes, we do exist. We're the ones who brought the geek generation to you.
That's right. I remember when that game came out. My friend had like this really cool tower PC at the time. It was so, you know, I didn't have anything like that. But I was like, wow, those graphics are impressive. And of course, my impressive graphics was like Wolfenstein 3D at the time. Or like
Link's Golf.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I remember getting a demo of TIE Fighter in the mail.
Nice.
Wow. I'm like, cool. And I had to go to a friend of ours' house to play the game. It's like, can I try this game out on your computer?
I geeked out just because the other day X-Men arcade game was like only 99 cents on the iTunes.
Bought it.
So I'm like, yep, gotta get that. I just remember plunking so many quarters into that game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. It was great because the McDonald's right here in Hermitage, you know, had the X-Men game just like that with the four controllers, kind of like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And I would go there after school and just plunk quarters in, you know, and it was like the best game ever.
Oh yeah.
I feel bad now thinking that the two games that I plunked the most quarters in as a kid was Asteroids and Tempest.
Oh no, I did the same thing. Oh, mine was Battlezone. Battlezone, Galaga. Those are like my two big games, and maybe a little bit of Popeye. I did Popeye a lot.
Burger Time.
Oh my God, Burger Time. That's Kristen's favorite video game.
Now, if they had it in the arcade, the original Star Wars arcade game. Oh my God,
it's still good.
It still blows away Battlezone.
Yeah.
And that was the thing I enjoyed about playing Battlezone, is I was turning it into a Star Wars game.
Star Wars game? Yeah. I'm riding around this tank. The great thing about the Star Wars arcade game was the soundtrack, and when you would go in there and you'd be lucky if you went into an arcade that actually had one that you could sit down in.
Yes.
But if you were lucky, I felt every single move of that fighter. For some reason, it was so fluid to me, the vector graphics and just going into that trench. And when you were going into that trench, I felt like I was actually in the X-Wing doing it. Yeah. And, anyway.
Well, when they released for the iPhone, the AR game, the Star Wars arcade game, mm-hmm. and I'm like, this is what the game would be if it was released now.
Is it pretty good?
It's instead of the vector graphics, it's definitely a lot more detailed.
Right.
And it's just as good.
Yeah.
And the nice thing with the AR, even just if you don't do the AR on the game, is you can spin around 360. So when you turn, I mean, you hold it and you spin. I mean, if you spin in a circle, the phone's picking up on that, and you spin behind you.
Great. So you need to be in an office chair when you do it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, playing the AR while walking through Disney and seeing TIE fighters come around Spaceship Earth and you're blasting them is so cool.
Wow. I never really thought about that before. I think I'm going to have to download that game.
By golly. It's so awesome. So, y'all's best of 2013 or 2013, however you want to say it.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Marty. You going to start us, Michael, or what?
Go ahead now. You called Marty out, so Marty's going to kick it up. Pressure's on.
Is this in the realm of like anything, or is it just anything
that geeked you out this year? Movies, comics, TV.
Yeah, you might have to come back with me. I thought we were just talking about movies for a second, so I was trying to think of what movies that's all.
Anything.
Even
if it's news that's of stuff coming out next year, stuff that happened 2013. And at this point in time, I almost think we probably need to just do this as a whoever thinks of something first, toss it out there.
Okay.
There you go.
Walking Dead. Still, for me, must-see TV. And that was definitely a hit, a highlight. I know a lot of people think that maybe Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a miss, but I had expectations that it wasn't going to be the Avengers on TV. So for me, it was a hit. Because I didn't have those high expectations.
I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as you pointed out, it depended on what your expectations were going into it. I think a lot of people were expecting Avengers from it, and those are the people who are disappointed. I think the people who had no expectations for it, which I know quite a few people on Twitter that I follow, who have created their own companion shows, I don't think their expectations were that high. They just saw it as, oh, it's a Marvel comic book show. They're all over it. And I'm like, okay, really? You're not seeing the flaws? You're not seeing the problems?
Oh, of course there are flaws and problems. Of course.
I think the show's good.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going anywhere? I don't think it's going anywhere until after Avengers 2 comes out. Do I see the mid-season finale as the turning point of the show? No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
I think the episode that focused on Fitz and the episode that focused on Simmons were better shows than the finale. But what I'm seeing in the preview for the second half of the season, I think has a lot more potential to the show.
Yeah, they better have more Agent May, you know, action. That's all I'm saying.
I want to see Chris Evans on the show before or immediately after Captain America comes out.
That's going to be the point that I think that's going to really make or break the series, is whether or not they can do it, bring the big screen actors onto the show. And they should. Like,
I think they blew it with Thor episode.
Well, they blew it with Samuel Jackson's cameo and not really announcing it. They need to have announced it, and it needed to be in the pilot, because that really set the tone for the entire show.
The entire series. But the only announcement that was made was Clark Gregg going, oh, you really need to stick around for the after credit scene. It's big. And the week before, you saw the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo with the eagle having a patch, the eye patch. Mm-hmm. That was the only tease.
Yeah. Needs it. It's TV, folks. Subtlety is not what TV does.
No.
It's Walking Dead. So anyway, yeah, Walking Dead, definitely must-see TV. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of what's going on sci-fi series, Being Human. And I think that's still, for me, a great series. I look forward to that. So in terms of geeky TV, you know, there's my thing. And in terms of comic books right now, man, I'm really into what's going on with the X books with Marvel, because I can only speak on Marvel because that's what I'm reading. But I'm really digging what they're doing with the X books and The Incredible Hulk. Indestructible Hulk, I think, is still a great book. So,
for me, TV-wise, I think big hit was Defiance on Sci-Fi. I really got into the show. I really dug the show. I loved the concept. I can't wait for the second season. S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. I still prefer Arrow over S.H.I.E.L.D., but, I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s on my watch list. Comic book wise, I mean, I'm going to go my DC roots, but it's not the DC comic everyone thinks of. I am really sold on Larfleas. And I might be in that scenario like Aljon with Ant-Man. I might be the only person who's buying this damn book. And I love it. Michael Atiyah is the colorist. That's the one name that sticks out. I don't remember who the rest of the writing team, who the artist and the writer is right offhand, but everything comes together. I think Marty and I discussed this briefly either two shows ago or last show. Larfleas on its own, when they brought in the character for Green Lantern 22, the Larfleas title, the way he's drawn there blows away what they did in Green Lantern 22. And I almost feel the way they treat Larfleas is better than Van Sciver and Dawn's Larfleas. And believe me, I loved the Larfleas Christmas special when that released.
You know, it's so funny because I don't think I've heard you not mention that book in, God, I don't know how many episodes. I think you've made it a point to mention it in every episode.
At least once a month. At least once a month.
At least.
I like it. And of course, this month's issue drops New Year's Eve.
There you go.
It is one of the two titles of DC that week. But movie-wise, now, realistically, the only movie I really got out to this year was Man of Steel. And I, even with the controversy, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great relaunch, great reboot. It's what the franchise needed after the previous three movies that came before it. It was great. I did end up seeing Wolverine on DVD and Iron Man 3 on DVD. What I saw G.I. Joe Retaliation, which, while that was better than the first one, Hasbro, come on, get your head together. Relaunch G.I. Joe. Take the Transformers approach and relaunch this. Because you did two, and they both failed.
Anyway.
But
Marty?
Oh, I guess it's my... I got some time to think of it. And probably my favorite geek moments of 2013. They're actually more of a personal thing. Like, I actually, for the first time in, 12 or 14 years, I actually went to a con. Not only did I go to one con this year, I went to two cons. So I got to go to C2E2 in Chicago.
Yay!
And then Wizard World came to Nashville, where I live. So I got to go to two cons, had an amazing time at both of them. And at C2E2, I got to meet Burt Ward, better known as Robin from Batman 66. And he even, I showed my son the Batman 66 movie that they did, shark repellents and everything. Yeah. And the Halloween before, he dressed up as Batman because that's his favorite. I dressed up as Robin, and he only kind of got Robin. But after he saw that movie, Robin became part of his lexicon. Like, it was like Batman and Robin. Batman, you know, Batman saving Robin, Robin saving Batman. It was just, he was ingrained that he knew who Robin was. So I told him the story, and he actually hooked me up with like a autographed pic for my son, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so that was a cool moment. And then in Wizard World, I actually got to get an autograph and meet Stan Lee.
Thanks, Marty.
Yeah, which I hooked Aljon up with a autograph as well. But my story with Stan Lee was when I was 16, probably collected comics for like a couple years, Stan Lee came to Nashville. And so I'm still new in the comics, kind of just learning like the whole creators make comics. It's not just about the characters, there's people behind it. So I didn't really understand the heaviness of Stan Lee coming to Nashville. So he was there. The line was long. I'm a broke high school kid, and I think I even had to be at work, so I couldn't stay in line that long. So it was like, You know, my buddies there were like, we'll just catch him next time he comes. Next time he comes was this past summer. So, like, what, from like 14 to 34. So, 20 years later, finally comes back to Nashville. I'm like, I told my wife, I was like, all right, that is the number one priority. I've got to meet and get Stanley's autograph. I don't care about anything else. So, I got that, and my life is complete. So, that's my best for 2013.
Well, good news for you guys. Stan Lee is going to be at MegaCon this year. He had to cancel last year because of health issues, but he's back this year. And they also announced either yesterday or today the governor and Beth from Walking Dead.
Well,
going to be
well.
Down here.
Nice.
So, when are you guys booking rooms down here again?
I don't know. What time does the hotel mic open up? have you guys heard of WalkerCon? It's like in Atlanta. Yeah, and it's like just basically a Walking Dead convention. And I think they got a lot of pretty much all but about two or three of the main cast that you would recognize on the show.
Tampa has a Comic-Con that they do twice a year, and they've had they had one of the main stars. God, I can't think of her name. Daughter to Herschel. The older daughter to Herschel.
Oh, crap.
I want to say the actress's name is Laura.
Maggie. It's Laura Cohen, I think.
Yeah. She was here for both of the Tampa Bay Comic Cons this year.
Nice.
She's been doing a circuit, I think, because there was another show that came to Nashville that she was one of the headliners for.
One of the targets I'm trying to get for next year is I'm trying to get Will Wheaton. I kind of broke the ice with him a little bit last MegaCon. Come find out he doesn't do a lot of podcasts because he feels he oversaturates him, you know, being his product, that if he puts himself out there too much, people are going to lose interest in him. So he doesn't do a lot. That way he stays fresh. That's why he does his own show. And I kind of pitched to him, well, I really don't want to talk about your acting career, which I know seems odd. I want to talk about Radio Free Burrito. I want to talk about Tabletop. I want to talk about his blog because he became one of the top bloggers one year. I want to get into that side of things. I would love to get his view of geekdom, how he's seen it change from an acting point of view, you know, as an actor looking out into it. How parenthood and his geekdom change, you know, how it molded his character, or not his character, his personality. I want to get into that type of stuff with them. So I keep squeezing, and each time I talk to the publicist, he doesn't do podcasts. And if he does, he only does the big shows. Well, who says we're not big? I mean, our numbers for downloads have gone up almost 100 downloads a month ever since it was probably the smartest move I ever made. And that was partnering up with Al John over at Sorcerer Radio. And it's similar concepts. And I think a lot of that's because I am a Disney cast member. And I want the show to be even though it's a geek show, family friendly show. And that's what I love about Sorcerer Radio so much. It's a Disney show. And if you want that escape and go to the world of magic, don't go to Radio Disney. Go to Sorcerer Radio.
Thanks, man.
Because that's where it's at. I mean, I don't want to hear of the Disney cast members trying to recreate stuff. I want to hear the actual things. Right. Cause I know, you know, to have stuff like the ride audio from different rides. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear that on Radio Disney.
No.
And, And that's, as a Disney fan, I think that's what I want to hear, to relive my experience. And I'd rather hear some of the classic stuff, like the original Journey into Imagination. My daughter's never going to hear that unless she possibly hears it on Sorcerer Radio.
Yeah.
So if it's getting to a point now, if I'm not listening to the oldie station in the car with her, I'm breaking out the phone and firing up that Sorcerer Radio app.
Well, thanks. That's like the best endorsement I've ever heard.
Hey.
It's like so cool, man.
Well, if you... Let's put it this way. I was looking at my numbers for this month for the show downloads. I've already surpassed last month's unique downloads. And we're only talking, this is day 18 of December.
Right.
I mean, we still got roughly a week and a half yet to go. And I'm on track, you know, we're on track to having our largest number of total downloads and largest number of unique downloads in the history of the show.
Well, congratulations. You know, I mean, it's great. I mean, the geek community, there's enough room for everybody to let their voice be heard, but ultimately people want that personality. They want to hear consistent content. They want to hear fun stories and sneak peeks into people's lives that they can say and listen and tune in and go, you know what? I relate to Mike and I relate to Marty, and that's awesome. And so, you know, kudos to you guys, you know, for doing a great show, and thanks for the shout out on that and for Sorcerer Radio. And, you know, 2013 was a really big year for us too, just the Sorcerer Radio Network, because, you know, we've got, you know, thousands upon thousands of people downloading our free apps and listening to our programs. And, you know, we're always, just like you, always trying to get great interviews with Disney people and people associated with the company at large, whether it's Lucasfilm or Pixar or the parks or what have you. So, you know, 2013 was busy, but definitely a lot of fun, for sure. And networking with you guys definitely was a lot of fun. Definitely a highlight. So.
And I think a lot of people don't realize, for us, this is a hobby. This is our escape from reality. This is not our full-time job, even though it sometimes feels like it with the editing and trying to find news stories for each week, especially when the news is slow, which... Bear with me on this week's Mighty Marvel Geeks. It was kind of a slow Marvel week. I did my best.
That's why there's music.
That's why I did my best. But, I mean, I never thought of launching a second show. Well, I did. When did I tell you we were possibly launching a second show? Like October-ish?
Yeah.
September, October-ish? And it just fell through. So I'm like, okay, it's just not in the cards. It's not going to happen. And then all of a sudden, Mighty Marvel Geeks came around. And it's been great. It's what's turned us from Weeby Geeks podcast to Weeby Geeks Network. And to be affiliated with Sorcerer Radio. And to have you guys, you know, play our promo there. Which Marty and I got to do a new promo at some point. And to have the show over there, which Geeky Saturday Nights, I'm hoping it's becoming the success that you guys were hoping for, with Rebel Force Radio at 7 and Mighty Marvel Geeks at 8. And then, you know, having a Weeby Geek segment on Tiki Room. To help get some Disney geek out there. It's great exposure for both of us, because, you know, I put various promos in rotation on this show of different stuff with Sorcerer Radio. Be it, you know, the Jedi Mouseketeer or Tiki Room or just a station plug. I try and get something on to help with the cross-promote, because that's what it's about. It irks me when there's people who want you to play their promo and then get upset. Well, how come you haven't played my promo in a while? I got quite a few. I have a rotation that I go through. Or maybe because you've irked me and because it's more, you're more into it for yourself than trying to help spread the word type deal. I joke, you know, as you see by our bios on the site, you know, we don't take our bios seriously because it's meant to be fun. We're meant to have fun. I mean, just listen to the, you know, meanwhile, down the street for the mentally insufficient or whatever. Now, listen to those. Yeah, we kind of make fun of all these people. Oh, we're coming to you from the studios of Banter Fada. whatever. I mean, this is fun. And definitely we've seen growth in this first full year of Weeby Geeks. I mean, we've been around 14 months. Gone through 3 co-hosts. Marty is the latest and hopefully the last.
We'll see about that.
Unless Doc Brown shows up and has to take him somewhere for whatever reason.
Hey, I do have to go back to the future at some point, so just warning you.
Oh, there you go.
Well, when you come back, can you bring back an almanac, please?
Yeah, that's the only way to get rich anymore.
and feel free to bring back a sandwich. I'm starving up in this studio. I get the Cold Cabana in there, too.
Definitely 2014's going to bring lots of great things for Weeby Geeks, with Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio. Definitely pass the same sentiments on to Sorcerer Radio that you guys just continue growing as well. It's the geek community that cross promotes and sticks together and helps each other out is what makes the geek generation, and as we put it here, the geek revolution, what it is. I don't think I've really ever heard the term geek revolution before we said it here first. I know it's been thought, but I don't think, and I know it's been said in conversation, but I don't think it's ever been said broadcast wise until we said it. I could be wrong. Chances are I am wrong. But we push the fact that there's a geek revolution out there. I mean, we read the top 25 from Movie Insider. And how many of those were geek movies?
Dude, they're all geek movies.
I mean, it's not the meek shall inherit, it's the geek shall rule. Yeah. And that's the way it is. And it doesn't matter if you are a Twilight geek. It doesn't matter if you're a chick flick geek. Well, yeah, we don't. Stop. That's the third show.
I knew it.
It's chick geek. We have chocolate. Actually, that's the show my wife wants to do.
You should do the show Twilight After Twilight. There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go. And it could be a double meaning because you could do it after the Twilight, the actual time period of time, and it's after the Twilight movies have all been out.
Yes, and my first guest will be a pet rock.
Oh, you shouldn't talk about what's your name there.
I set him up, and you gave me a split.
I couldn't remember her name. I just remember her face and how stone-like it is.
Oh, well.
Give me a reaction. It's a stone. Give me another reaction. It's the same stone.
So
what's her name? I don't even remember.
So stand by for our next podcast, 50 Shades of Twilight Spider-Man. But no, I definitely think because of our geekdom and just me badgering Aldon on Facebook quite a bit, it's like, you come to Disney, Come see me.
Well, I'm coming to see you. So hang on to your hats. Oh, Kristen Stewart, by the way, Kristen Stewart.
God, that's the stone face I needed a name for.
Yeah.
You know the stone creature in Galaxy Quest is Becca looking.
Yeah, no kidding. At all.
She's the prototypical from that Seinfeld episode where you had like he was going out with the girl that like in certain light she looked great, in other light that is Kristen Stewart in a nutshell right there. It's like you just don't know what lighting you're gonna get her in.
Well, I think the rock creature from Galaxy Quest has softer edges and softer skin than Kristen Stewart too.
All right.
But
I love Galaxy Quest.
It's such a great. That's a movie I want to see a sequel for.
And you might, man. You know,
and
I just want to see Tim Allen say you're a strange little man. You know, in that movie. Then the circle will be complete.
And if it's not a sequel, then do a new series and call it Galaxy Quest, the new generation.
I think I saw some article that somebody had posted, basically said the greatest Star Trek movie ever, and it was like colon Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. Well, before it gets too late, because oh man, this has been a great show. I mean, this is what it's about. You know, guys having us having fun. I mean, yeah, we had serious moments. Yeah, we were doing some reading, but.
Where?
We have fun. Stop. That's not my knee. Wait. How did you do that through the internet?
Don't you remember that after school special tone that came in and you're like, Aljon, we need to sit down and have a talk. You can't be playing with guns and it's okay to have two fathers.
Oh, no.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. I would like to say, and hopefully I'm speaking on behalf of Marty and Aljon as well, we wish you guys very happy new year, a very merry Christmas, big things coming ahead for Sorcerer Radio and for the Weeby Geeks Network, be it Weeby Geeks or Mighty Marvel Geeks, because you know, we already said we're coming out swinging the first 2 weeks of 2014 with Eric Escoville and Art and Franco with, coming out, how can we swing any harder than that? You know, MegaCon coming up, God, I don't even know what other conventions you guys might be hitting.
Well, we should be hitting C2E2 again this year.
I would love to get up there. And of course, we're going to have a meeting of the minds, which could end up being a cause of a black hole when Weeby Geeks, Sorcerer Radio, and Rebel Force Radio all get together for Star Wars weekends.
Yep, that's the plan.
Now, with the weekend they've picked, Memorial Weekend, God, that's going to be tough for me at work. Because that's usually blacked out, but getting in, I kind of wish they would almost move it a little further, but I understand because of school and everything else.
Yeah, not our call. It's trying to get the Rebel Force Radio guys, in there, but you know what? More to come on that. So
now, Jason, Jimmy, listen to us Disney folks. We know. I mean, we get what y'all are trying to do, but we know.
We know.
I think Memorial Weekend, that's going to be the first weekend.
Yeah.
It tends to be. Mm-hmm. Second to third weekend's usually the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if for some reason my family can't make it to Star Wars weekends, definitely I'll be catching up with you guys after hours. Because if it's Memorial Weekend, chances of me being able to get off work is going to be slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
For that.
Well, we definitely have that planned, and we have so many great things to look forward to for sure. I know we got a lot of cons, so I'm sure we're going to be covering a lot of that, on the show. So
but
thanks for having me on, though. I appreciate it.
No problem. So to wrap things up, we can catch Marty on Twitter at That's right.
I made that my New Year's resolution. I will officially join Twitter in the year 2014. I feel like I just made a presidential, like I'm running for the president now. All I'm doing is joining some silly social network. But yes, I will be on Twitter, and so I will give my Twitter handle.
Hey, Aljo, actually got a recording of Marty trying to figure out a Twitter name from a couple nights ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Go for it.
2-4-9-5.
I would actually use that. 4-9-5.
McFly. 2-4-9-5.
Did I hear a niner in there? Are we talking on a walkie-talkie? I think that's the main obstacle is me figuring out a good handle. So I'll have that ready for you first show 2014. I promise. That is a promise to you, Mike.
Algin, they can find you on Twitter where?
Yeah, sad Jedi Mouseketeer for a bunch of crazy musings about Star Wars, Disney, music, guitars, just random pictures, you know. Hopefully stuff you dig. So, at Jedi Mouseketeer. Have fun.
Very cool. You can find me for Weeby Geeks at Weeby Geeks on Twitter. And I'm thinking about WeebyGeeksPC.com is staying. That's the main domain name. But there might be a easier way of reaching the site coming in 2014. I'm looking at getting within the next week or two, WeebyGeeks.net.
Cool.
Unless someone hears this and tries to buy it underneath me.
Buy it now.
Well, Marty, did I tell you the story about WeebyGeeks.com?
Yes. $10,000.
It went through the whole GoDaddy process, redemption phase, deletion phase, before it got deleted, and some company picked it up. Well, it went through their auction phase and everything else, and another company picked it up. Right now, WeebyGeeks.com is owned by BuyDomains.com.
Oh, no.
So I called them up. I've been entering this domain in your site, not seeing it. Are you guys selling it? Yeah, the owner wants $10,000 for it. What drugs is he smoking? And will he share? I'm like, I'm not paying $10,000 for it. Well, how much would you be willing to pay? $20? Is that what it's worth to you? I'm like, I know the worth of the name. $10,000's not it. Well, maybe we can meet in the middle. I'm like, $5,000's not it either. So, yeah. Shysters. I will wait till next November to see if it ends up back on the market. But until then, quite possibly WeebyGeeks.net is what might be coming down the road. And as always, if there's something you think we should cover on the show or would like to see us cover on the show, give us a call, 321-219-8227. Leave us a voicemail. If you want to say something on air, we'll take it and play it on air as well. And until then, this has been Weeby Geeks for 2013. And what are we going to do next year? If I could find it.
Try to take over the world.
Yeah. So, until next year, happy holidays, everyone, and we're out.
Give the evacuation code signal.
I will bring you back a snowball.
All right, cut the chatter. self-destruct in 1 second. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
It's over, Prime.
Adventure. Excellent.
Why didn't I take the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
Hold it. I said hold it.
By the way, why are we wearing bras on our heads?
Sir Morton.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the plight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all the feet? Roll them up.
We Be Geeks, your voice of the geek revolution.
This has been a We Be Geeks production.
Jarvis, drop my needle.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. In a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Sleigh.